Part 28, Chapter 5. They looked at Johnny with their heavy-lidded eyes. They were very serious now. His Excellency Dries Glotten leaned forward.
"It's a question of clear title. The bank would never have anything to do with a clouded title."
"Never,"
said Lord Voraz.
"The whole reputation of the bank, indeed the racial reputation of the Salachis, is based on absolute honesty and impeccable legality."
"Always legal. It would be our ruin if we ever did anything illegal. We never bend rules. That's why uncounted quintillions of people trust us."
Johnny was not among those quintillions of people. There was something cold, hard, and horrible here.
"Perhaps you had better explain further. If I am to arrange a meeting for you, I really have to know the background of what will be taken up."
Dries leaned back.
"Ah, well, that's true. Where shall I begin? Well, the point of discovery of this planet is a good place. The 16th universe,"
he continued,
"was the last one to be discovered. Possibly less than 20,000 years ago. It was never wholly mapped. The Cyclo-Imperial government introduced probes into it to do further charting, but for a very long time they found nothing new. This planet is part of what might be called a rim star system, way out at the edge of a galaxy. It might have gone overlooked had it not sent out some probes of its own. It gave its exact location, an Imperial probe picked it up, and the rest is history. The Cyclo-Imperial government obtained title, quite valid, on the right of discovery. And this system's title was entered on the books for the first time. That government sold the planet to Intergalactic Mining, which, being short of cash, borrowed the purchase price from the Galactic Bank. All this is very routine, ordinary, and usual. Intergalactic Mining has done this countless times. Such loans are secured by lodging the deed of title of a planet with the Galactic Bank. The interest rate is usually 2 parts in 11, or in non-cycloarithmetic, roughly 18% per annum. The term was 2,500 years. Intergalactic, in the past, always paid such loans off smoothly. They knew better than not to. In fact, this was the only planet they had bought in recent times. All the others had been paid off. Such a transaction is called a mortgage. Are you following me so far?"
Johnny was. He had begun to guess what was coming.
"There was a second mortgage also,"
said His Excellency.
"It was to pay for the expenses of military conquest by Intergalactic. But that was a minor matter, and being at a higher interest rate was paid off in only 5 years.
Johnny got it. The Galactic Bank had financed the invasion of Earth. Financed the gas drone. They must have detected that something had changed in his attitude. Lord Voraz said,
"It is just business. The bank tends to banking and the customers tend to their own affairs. It does not mean the bank was ever hostile to you. Actually, we are not hostile now. This is all just routine, ordinary banking business."
"So, anyway,"
said Dries easily, not bothering to assert his prerogatives,
"the basic mortgage has 1,400 years to run."
Johnny digested that very warily, very alertly.
"But I should think that a war and so on would tend to wipe out that mortgage."
"Oh, dear, no. The simple fact of military takeover does not change the basic debt structure of a planet. That a government changes does not relieve the property of debt. Why, if that were true, then governments would just arrange to change hands every day and they would be rid of all their financial obligations."
He laughed.
"No, no. A change of government or a military takeover does not change a country's debts. The new owners have to pay."
"The original conquest, when Intergalactic took over Earth, did not assume any debts."
"They would have been internal. Internal debts have nothing to do with international debts. No, the planet was properly discovered, properly bought from the Cyclo-Imperial government by Intergalactic Mining. The mortgage papers were all properly executed. Everything was totally legal.
Totally.
The debt is not in question. Who pays it is in question.
You called this conference to see who pays the debt?
Not precisely, but close. You see, so long as combat was threatened, and so long as one could not really determine who was and who would be the actual responsible government of this planet, I could not serve this paper.
He was holding a big, legal-looking piece of paper. He did not hand it over. Johnny reached out his hand for it, but Drees said,
No, you are not a member of the government, by your own statement.
What happens when you do serve it?
Why, we have a meeting to arrange the possibility and terms of payment, and if no agreement can be reached, we foreclose.
And then what happens?
Why, the planet is put up for public auction and sold to the highest bidder.
Johnny began to understand the feeling he had had about these two.
And what happens to the planet's people?
Why, that is up to the buyer, of course. The title would not be clouded in any way. He could do with them pretty much as he liked. That is, wholly outside the province of the bank.
And what do such buyers usually do?
No, it all depends. Ordinarily, they would pay cash or use their credit to pay for the auctioned planet. Such buyers usually have credit or other collateral, and they assume the balance of the mortgage. They often just move in, but if there is local protest, they get a short-term loan from the bank and engage in a swift military suppression of the population. Sometimes they sell the original population as slaves to meet their payments. But such buyers want to move in their own people, you know.
Johnny sat and looked at them.
I don't think a buyer would find it so easy to take this planet.
No,
said Drees, brushing it away.
The planet has no defenses worth mentioning. You have very few people. Modern arms could do it in a few days. This combined force you had here was just a buzzing of insects. The real fleets of these combatants weren't even involved. But be calm. There is no reason to become alarmed. It is just business. Just a matter of a mortgage and paying one's obligations. A banking matter.
So you are waiting now to see whether we win so you can serve that paper?
Oh, I think you will win. That is why we are talking with you tonight. We want you to arrange a meeting with your government the moment we know it really has one. And then we can serve this paper and discuss things. That's all.
If I'm going to arrange a meeting for you, you would better show me the paper so I will know what I'm talking about.
I'm not serving this on you, but you can look it over.
Johnny took it. It had pages and pages of legal details, tracing the discovery, the loan, the payments made. And then it had a huge single page attached to it. Johnny had held each page of it up to catch the light better, and to expose it to the button camera that had been going in the upper corner of the room all evening. And he now held up the final one. It said, Notice of Delinquency. 2. Legal owners and occupiers of planet at time of service. Date. You are hereby summoned to a meeting with the duly appointed officials of the Galactic Bank. 2. A. Discuss terms for the discharge of this pressing financial obligation forthwith, well understanding that it is overdue by 1 year and blank days. Without any payment of any kind and without any arrangements to extend or discharge. B. If such arrangements are found unsatisfactory by the Galactic Bank, to surrender title, occupancy, and use promptly to avoid further penalties within 1 week from above date, the undischarged amount of said loan and mortgage being 40,960,217,605,216 Galactic credits, being the unpaid remainder and interest of the initial loan, advanced in good faith to the Intergalactic Mining Company of Cyclo of 60 trillion galactic credits, and paid by Galactic Bank Transfer at the order of said Intergalactic Mining Company, to the account of the Imperial Government of Cyclo, being, in full, payment for purchase of said planet, Earth, Solar System, Universe 16. Signed and sealed, Dries Glotten. Branch Manager, the Galactic Bank.
Baylor,
Battafor System Head Offices of Sector 4, Universe 16. Johnny said,
"And what would be satisfactory terms for its discharge?"
"Oh,"
said Dries Glotten, easily.
"A payment of 5 trillion at once and some arrangement like 500 billion a month would do. You see, legally, a whole loan becomes due and payable instantly if payments are missed. So you will really find the bank very easy to do business with, for we could require the whole amount instanter. We really are your friends, you know. We always pride ourselves not just on our total honesty and integrity, but on our customer relations."
5 trillion, thought Johnny. 500 billion a month. They only had 2,200,000,000. They had no industry or income. No resources they could dig out of the ground would match the amount needed in that time period. Dries saw through his fairly well-hidden consternation.
"You'd have a whole week. It is very liberal."
"And as soon as this conference decides the fate of Schleem and the relationship to the other combatants..."
"Why, the planet will have a clear title,"
said Dries triumphantly.
"And you can arrange the meeting for us. And we can serve this paper and the whole thing will be handled."
"The winning government,"
said Lord Voraz,
"would have days to discuss it and find where they were going to get the money."
"You couldn't lend it to us?"
"Oh, dear no. It's already been lent."
"And who might buy this planet?"
"Why, any one of the combatants would be glad to have it. They, unlike you here, have industry and credit and collateral."
"So, after we win this war, if we win it, then we might lose it totally, even to the Tolneps."
"Well,"
said Dries Glotten, with an expressive hand gesture,
"banking is banking. Business is business."